This episode of Behind the Video is brought to you by the Independent Media Network. The Independent Media Network helps journalists and content creators create their own jobs by building sustainable online businesses. If you're an unemployed or underemployed journalist or content creator, visit IMNCT.com for more information. Hey, everybody, we are back. This is Behind the Video, episode 45, and joining me, as always, is Tim Street. Hey, Tim.
Good morning. Thank you for saving my life.
Tim is channeling his inner Wolverine, but he's also, I guess, recovering from a seven-hour drive back and forth to San Francisco.
Yeah, I did it in 7 hours. I went there, came back. No.
Never again.
So, it was about 6 hours one way, but yeah, I'm pretty tired this morning.
So Tim is a little tired, but that's all right. We'll wake him up. And we also we broadcast the show live. So if you are listening recorded, you can catch us every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 Pacific. And we like getting guests on. You know, just call us, and we have a link that you can hit while we're on the air to just talk to us. So
via the Google Plus.
Through the Google Plus. So if there's anybody left on Google Plus, we are here every Sunday morning. So
Hello.
We're out here. Join us. So I know most of you listen to us recorded, but, you know, Sunday morning, and it's Easter. We're just digesting our Easter eggs. And what better way to do that than to quickly run through our tops of the week. On television this week, American Idol was number 5 and 4, not dominating like it used to, but still 12 million viewers on its best day, which was Wednesday. NCIS Los Angeles number 3. NCIS number 3, NCIS. And the Los Angeles show. Oh, I got that incorrect. NCIS Los Angeles is number 3. That was an extra line in my spreadsheet here. Dancing with the Stars is number 2, and the regular NCIS at number 1 with 19 million viewers. That's a lot of people. On cable, Kids' Choice Awards.
You know, it's funny. It's not 30 million.
It is like funny that it's not 30 million.
Yeah.
That audiences are getting quickly disambiguated, as they say. So, and some of them are going to cable, but not all of them. So 5 million kids tuned in for the Kids' Choice Awards 2013. Did you watch that, Tim?
Yes, I was up. I was up late. It came on at 8 p.m., which is past my bedtime. Watch that.
That's awesome. Old people. So that was number 5. Duck Dynasty is still dynastying at number 4 and 3 on the cable charts. And then The Bible and The Walking Dead nearly tied at 10 million and change.
Are those kind of related somehow?
They are. And you know what's funny is, you know, Easter, the day that celebrates, you know, rising from the dead, is also the day that The Walking Dead will have its season premiere tonight. So
isn't there another big season premiere with
finale, I'm sorry, season finale.
It's a finale for
finale.
That. There's another premiere that I think is going to shake some trees tonight.
And I think that's one of your favorite shows, if I'm not mistaken, Tim.
Yeah, I wish I could think of the name of it, but it's on HBO.
Game of Thrones?
That might be it.
That could be it. So that's
Winter
premiering tonight.
Winter is coming. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one.
Now, what season are they in right now?
I think it's season 3. I forget. Yeah, I think it's season 3. Should be a good one.
So that is something to watch on HBO tonight, Walking Dead tonight, all sorts of good stuff going. Now, there's an article at The Wrap that's pontificating how television helped clear the way for same-sex marriage. Now, we know the Supreme Court heard some arguments on two separate cases related to same-sex marriage, but The Wrap is speculating that some of the things that have happened on television over the last 10, 15 years or so have helped shape that. And, Tim, is this more pop culture shaping the government, or is it something the other way around, where maybe there was just a greater public interest in this issue that led pop culture to begin talking more about it?
Well, I think you're leaving out another option, and that is that it was a conspiracy that was propagated on the entertainment industry to diabolically change America's views on something evil.
Mm-hmm.
Or not. I've heard that statement propagated someplace, but
there's always a conspiracy theory out there, more so as the internet continues to propagate, right?
I have no clue. I mean, you look at one of the number one shows out there, Modern Family, and there's a gay couple on there, and everybody loves the character. So I would say that does have something to do with changing people's attitudes. And also, you know, when kids go to school these days, they're taught be nice to everybody. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And that's kind of a basic thing that kids are taught, at least in this generation. And I think after you teach them that long enough, they look at something and go, hey, I'd like to treat these people the same way I'm treated.
I think, too, there's some degree of libertarianism that's kind of prevailing out there these days where, you know what, let people be happy. Who cares? Don't get in the way of people's happiness. If that's what makes them happy, then go for it. And, you know, for me, I have a lot of friends who are in same-sex marriages, and they couldn't be happier. And I don't know why anyone would want to try to stop that. So it's good that we are nearing a point in our country's development where we can treat people equally no matter who they love. So we'll keep an eye on that and see what happens there. Moving on to the box office, though. Movie going was $145 million on this Easter weekend. G.I. Joe 2 was the top movie at $40.8 million domestic. And this is estimated according to Deadline Hollywood. They've got a great little website there on the weekend if you're really into movies and whatnot. So, Tim, you know, I couldn't even watch the first one. Is the second one better?
Absolutely. It is so much better because it's better.
It must be because people are watching it. But I'll tell you what, the first one was horrible. Now, I grew up with G.I. Joe. You know, with the cartoon show, yeah. knowing is half the battle. I mean, that was...
I grew up with the, we call them dolls, but they were later renamed action figures.
Action figures, right, to keep it keep it going there. So that's the number one movie in America this weekend so far. The Croods is number two. Tyler Perry's Temptation from Lionsgate, new film, at number three, and that's a weekend take of $22.5 million, 22.6.
Is that the Confession of a Marriage Counselor?
I don't know. Is that the one that is?
Temptation.
We'll have to look that one
up.
Yeah,
I think it's Confession of a Marriage Counselor, which Tyler Perry movies sounds interesting, if you know what I mean.
Actually, this movie's about apparently an ambitious married woman whose obsessive passion for a handsome billionaire leads to betrayal, danger, and a choice. So it's probably picking up on those books we kept talking about before. So Olympus Has Fallen, number four. Oz and the Great Powerful is at number five for the weekend. So apparently Easter weekend's a big movie weekend, in case you were curious about that. So that is what's going on there. Now, the visual effects industry, Tim, is still reeling from a lot of these. Almost the visual effects industry is in a state of real crisis here. Another studio has laid off 50 employees. The chief of the company wants the state of California to do something about it. Have you been hearing anything about this out there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really a market correction as to what's going on. There are so many people out there that can do visual effects. And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that when a feature film gets pushed, when it gets pushed back, when the schedule gets changed, there are three line items on the budget that don't make money in that push or don't get paid. Everybody else pretty much has a pay-to-play contract in the film if it gets moved, but the three lines are the producer, the director, and the visual effects company. Now, the visual effects companies will have it written into their contract that if the film doesn't get made or if it gets pushed, they'll still get money for their investment and all the research and development that they're doing and preparing for the film, because that takes a lot. You have to staff up with all these employees, and then if it gets pushed, you're stuck with all these employees sitting around doing nothing, right?
Who you're paying.
And do you hold on to them? Do you cut them loose? You've brought in special talent with special skills to do certain things. What do you do with them? Do you eat the cost? Whatever. And if you don't get paid for it, you lose that money, and you have no recourse if you only have two or three studios as your main customers. It's not like a visual effects house has thousands of places it can go to get work. It literally only has about a handful, maybe five at the most, 12 if you're lucky, different places where they can get work. And out of that, you know, 10 to 12 that are out there, they're only working for two to three at most.
Right. And these are long-term projects too. So if you do have something that gets started and delayed, you're stuck, right? There's not like a whole bunch of business out there for you.
It's a really, really bad business model. And there's a lot of people that want to do this type of work all over the world. And so it's highly competitive. Excuse me. It's highly competitive. And I don't see this one getting any better anytime soon.
Wow. Well, this is going to be something to watch. Do you think we're going to see a quality issue related to this as far as what we see visual effects wise?
I don't know if we'll see a quality issue in that there are people all over the world that can do great visual effects. The tough part will be for the producers of the movies who are working for the studios to figure out how they're going to wrangle all that talent that's out there all over the world. You know, it's one thing to have your vendors over a barrel, but when they dry up and go out of business, it creates a headache for your infrastructure in terms of trying to get another vendor up to speed and get them working the way that you want to. I'm not saying the talent isn't out there. There are a lot of great people out there with a lot of visual effects experience. It's just you got to find them. You got to make sure that they understand the way that you work. You got to train them. So there is a lot of value into finding a great vendor and making it a win-win situation. But that's a producer's point of view, not a bean counter's point of
view. Right. And it's tough. And so we'll see where it goes. Is there a union for visual effects artists?
There could be, but it's not like a strong thing.
So it's not like the writer's union where if they're upset about the industry, they can just go on
strike. It's a work-for-hire situation, whereas a director and a writer are protected by guilds. And the creative work structure is a little bit different. So.
Interesting. Well, we'll keep an eye on that story as time goes on here. And we can, by the way, call us in here live at behindthevideo.com/call, and you'll be dropped right into our Google Hangout chat. But don't worry, you'll be hidden and muted until we bring your call in. So you have some time to get yourself ready. But do call in and talk to us. We'll love to take your calls. Moving on to YouTube, our favorite topic of the week, top five. Number five is that Ola Soy German guy again, speaking in Spanish. So
yeah, he's talking about phobias this week, fears and phobias, things that people are scared of, doing about almost 4 million views.
Pretty remarkable.
And, Babe Ruth versus Lance Armstrong, epic rap battles of history. You got to love these.
Second week on the charts. They had another one last week, too. So they are doing quite
pumping
well.
Them out and doing them out. Well.
And Sergio Garcia, this was kind of funny. This is one of these videos that always does well on YouTube, where you kind of know what's going to happen, but you watch it anyhow, and the lead-up to it is often more interesting. So Sergio Garcia, the golfer, hits a ball into a tree, and it lands in the tree on a branch. And I guess you can take the ball down and grab a one-stroke penalty, but he decided he would climb the tree and hit the ball out, which he did. So he was able to do that.
It's pretty good. It's on really the green. Good. I mean, it's better than I could do if the ball is on the ground.
He's a rock star. And then he jumps out of the tree when he did it. So it doesn't even crack a smile. He's just all professional the whole way through. So definitely catch that one. That's a PGA Tour video, and about almost 7 million people have found that one interesting enough too. Battlefield 4, the official 17 minutes fishing in Baku gameplay reveal. Are you a game player, Tim?
You know, I do play games, but Battlefield is not one of them. I have played it, but I could care less about the 17 minutes, but it is kind of cool.
It does look pretty cool.
It is cool.
Incredibly realistic. It looks like it's running on a PC, and this PC hardware has just been, you know, it continually is exponential growth in the graphics output capability of this stuff, and it's pretty remarkable. These games require a lot of commitment, so which is why I don't usually get into them, because I just don't have time to really play them as
too.
Much as I'd like.
Me
so I'm
into
turn
around, the, bright eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what's interesting, though, there is a new thing coming out called the Oculus Rift. Have you heard of this, Tim?
No.
Okay, so this actually has implications both for games, but I think for video too. So it is basically a VR headset, and I know if you know we are children of the or adults of the 90s, and we certainly played with some of this crap back then, and it wasn't really that good, right? If you remember those things that you had at the mall, you know, you could do the VR thing. So they have come up with this thing which gives finally kind of the, and I haven't played with it yet, but everyone who's seen it is just gushing about it. It gives you the entire field of human vision, so it goes into your peripheral vision, and apparently the head tracking on it is incredibly fast, partly due to our computers being a lot faster now, and it also does some 3D effects too. So the end result is you have an incredibly realistic view from the computer that really apparently is very disorienting at first, because your eyes are telling you things that your body's not feeling, but it's going to be huge, I think, just given the initial press reaction and developer reaction to it. And we're going to see games on this thing, and I don't think it's going to be...
You think people are going to quit their jobs or start playing, get fired because they don't show up to work?
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be that big. And because it's not going to be all that expensive either. It looks like you can buy the developer kit now for like $300. But the resolution is not where it's going to be just yet. But there's a great game on the horizon, one that I might quit my job for. It's called Star Citizen. Written by the guy that made Wing Commander, which was an awesome space fighter game. And he is pledging to have his new version of the space fighter game completely integrated with this thing from day one. And it is going to be the perfect implementation for this thing. And my wife has been warned, so we'll see what happens with it. But it's remarkable. I think there's video production capabilities with this thing too, because you could really, do this point of view stuff. And we've seen those videos where you can pan around in a 360 degree area. So imagine playing back a video recording and being able to look around like you were there in 3D with the virtual reality kind of headset. I think there's some serious potential for that. So keep an eye on that. Now, Tim, I know number one on our list is something you have taken tremendous interest in.
Wolverine.
Now, this is a new movie.
Have you seen the trailer?
I did see the trailer. He looks like he's fallen on hard times, right?
Yeah, it kind of feels like a little Indiana Jones-ish to me. You remember when Indiana Jones was hiding out in the bar and it was freezing cold?
Yep.
And, or when he went there to find he went there to find his mentor, Ravenswood. And instead of finding Ravenswood, they went there to find Wolverine. So it looks good. I mean, if you're into the whole comic book adventure, this is a good one to see.
It's going to be good.
So check it out. It's number one.
Over
11 million views.
That's
not bad.
Incredible. Yeah, not bad at all. So,
they only got $1 for each view, right?
Exactly. So it's quite a... Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with these videos once you get them up there. So now, speaking of video games, YouTube, and this is something, now I don't have time to play games, but apparently people have time to play games, but also just watch other people playing games without having any interaction with them whatsoever.
Yeah, this is important, especially if you were at GDC this week.
And so YouTube there announced that they are going to have an API to allow games to stream into YouTube, which I guess is going to be a big deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, think about if this is going to create something. Something will come out of this, unless it's like Google Reader, where I'm totally off, and only the cool kids use it. And
yeah, right.
Then you turn it off.
Yeah,
but
right.
Imagine if your favorite tennis stars just turned on their camera at home and let you see a match between them while they were goofing off, and so. I think in the video game community, there are going to be these video game stars that are really good at playing video games that will start streaming stuff that they're doing, and they'll build audiences out of this. And I think YouTube knows that. So look out. There'll probably be an ESPN of video games evolve to where they lock up all these players so that they're not doing it for free.
Right, that's true. And there has been like this professional gaming circuit for quite a while now, but I am just there's a website called twitch.tv, which is really specializing in this right now. It's incredible how many people are tuning in to watch this stuff. It's just, it is remarkable. I'm this is how I know I'm getting older.
Spectacle comes first,
yep.
Then story.
Then story. So this is how I know I'm getting older, is that I just don't get it. So
there you go.
But we'll keep an eye on it, and YouTube is going to obviously do quite well with the ability to broadcast directly from your game to them. Here's an interesting story, Tim. So the Harlem Shake, we didn't do a Harlem Shake video because, we just don't – we make trends, not imitate them.
That's right. You are correct.
But there's a great website called Quartz. Have you seen this site? They do some
really – I have
really,
not. Tell me about it.
So Quartz is a great little site, and our producer Jason Perrier finds all sorts of good stuff on here. And this guy, Kevin Ashton, who writes for them, did an analysis of the Harlem Shake meme and traced it back to its very beginnings. And it started with some comedian who's got a following of tens of thousands of people on YouTube who had done something with the Harlem Shake in his video on January 30th, 2013. That followed, of course, by the first video that everyone attributed the Harlem Shake meme to, which was a bunch of guys in a dorm room doing this Harlem Shake dance. But what happened was, and this might be the actual thing that occurred, Maker Studios, who we've talked about before, right? The biggest YouTube channel there is, or at least one of the bigger YouTube channels that there is.
Yeah, one of the big ones.
Apparently, during the power outage from the Super Bowl, when people were out trying to find something to do, these Harlem Shake videos got viewed a little bit more and shared than they had been previously. And one of the Maker guys caught one of these things running in his feed and decided that this has got potential. So that led him to do a Harlem Shake video in their offices.
Yeah, that was Vernon Shaw, I think, from Maker.
Right.
It's like his job to look for pre-viral videos, and he thought it was pre-viral, and which is a term I've never heard before.
Maybe there's something you learn from the disease world on this thing. It's pre-viral, but. So he found this, he made this video, and then through their channels, which are extensive, they have a lot of people following their stuff, they then pushed this out, which then rose, what they say, a rising tide raises all boats or whatever, so
there you go.
It just raised everybody up, and the meme was born. So, and you got to give these guys credit, because to be able to detect something like that, that will become pre-viral, or is pre-viral, and to really take advantage of the audience scale that you have is pretty remarkable, and it almost creates like a mini economy, doesn't it?
Yeah,
there's a hunger for this kind of content.
And it goes places you'd never think it would go. I was at a children's talent show last week, and, there were kids that played violin. There was a kid that played the Chinese violin. There were piano concertos, all kinds of great talent there at this talent show. But then the teachers also let the kids, do pretty much whatever they want, as long as it's in good taste. And there were two different groups that got up on stage and did the Harlem Shake as our talent. And it was hilarious because they had no idea what the concept of surprise was. They just got up there and started doing everything like from the get-go.
There was no
surprise element.
There was no surprise to it.
It was just hilarious on so many different levels. But I got to say, there was one other talent that did blow them away that I can't believe the teachers let them do. And I was surprised. I always look at the music teacher whenever there's something that's not really a talent to see what, her reaction is.
Because
she really works hard with all the music students. She helps them get their gear up there. She sets them up. If they need a bench, if they need, some kind of footrest, if they're playing guitar, she's there to help. And she's awesome. And whenever there's something that is borderline or not really a talent, I'm always looking to see if she's rolling her eyes. But this one, a kid gets up there, and this was awesome. This was absolutely awesome. He was maybe 9 or 10. He gets up on stage. He pulls out some sunglasses. He puts them on. He pulls out a gaming headset with a little microphone in front of his eyes, or in front of his mouth. And then they hit the music, and the Mission Impossible theme starts playing. And he pulls out a radio control unit and a little helicopter. And he flies the helicopter across the audience. That was his talent.
That was it? That was the whole thing?
All to the Mission Impossible thing.
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
So it's all in the delivery, apparently, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
I was expecting a Harlem Shake, because it would have been great to go from that to Harlem.
Right, to the Harlem Shake, right. But now
it's just him flying it, and then
just
it crashed
the helicopter.
Into the audience. It hit a grandmother. It was great.
I was going to say, I thought maybe his talent would be not crashing it, because sometimes those things can be hard to control, but it's funny. That is great. Speaking of helicopters, and this relates to video production, you've obviously heard of the Parrot AR drone. Have you seen these things?
Yes, absolutely.
So I have one of these. They're really fun.
Drones don't exist.
But of course not. The Parrot remote control helicopter. So they are coming out with an autonomous control module for this thing. And one of the things it's going to do is, because it has a video camera on board, it's okay. It gets a little jellied if it moves around too much, but you're going to be able to program the AR drone, AR remote controlled helicopter toy, to take panning shots and those really smooth flies over buildings and that kind of stuff. So it's going to gain a lot of new functionality, including GPS driven automated flight control, and it's going to be pretty cool. It's a little device
there is one out there now that hooks up to the GoPro camera.
Yeah, I've seen that one too. And
it will return to base if it loses radio control signal.
Oh, really? So you could send it out somewhere and have it fly back.
Yeah, when you set it up, you program it so that it's GPS enabled and it knows where it took off from.
Oh, interesting.
And so if it flies too far and gets out of range, it will stop itself and go back to the GPS spot where it took off.
Oh, no kidding. Well, that's wild. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there coming down the pike. So one more thing. This will make our friends who care about taxes concerned. The IRS, gosh, $60,000 to make a Star Trek-themed tax evasion training video. It was the most horrific thing I've ever seen. I can't believe they paid $60,000.
Well, they did apologize for it.
Oh, okay, so it makes it all better now. But
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, just go to the Wrap and search for this and watch it, and just be prepared to cringe. It's you know what it reminded me of? Remember the Universal Studios had the thing where you can make your own Star Trek movie?
Yeah,
it was a lot like that.
Yeah, to me it kind of feels like an insider corporate party video.
Yeah, that's what it struck me as too. And I think there was a lot more of these going on in the past that we'll never see, but now that YouTube makes or YouTube-like technologies make it so easy to transfer this stuff around, I think we're going to be seeing a lot less of it, hopefully, because we should just make this stuff for them, Tim. It might actually do better.
There you go.
We'll put that in our minds here. So we're going to combine, once again, our app of the week with our topic of the week. And this week, we're going to talk a little bit about hosting. And we've talked about video hosting before, but we haven't spoken too much about combining the whole trifecta of audio, video, and then your website. So I thought we would just go into some little bit of detail on that. And let me bring up the app first, because this kind of ties it all together. This is on the Mac, so if you're not using a Mac, you're not going to be able to use this app. But the app is called Feeder. It's a Mac app. It's in the App Store, and you can buy it directly from the people that make it as well. And what it does is it helps you construct your own RSS feed. And by the way, Feeder is by reinventedsoftware.com. And why you want to do this, perhaps, is that if you're self-hosting your podcast feed somewhere, you need a way to develop the XML feed that iTunes can read and everything else. And this makes it really, really easy to just build yourself a feed that will feed iTunes and all of your other podcasters out there without having to do a lot of programming of a XML feed in horrific, geeky detail.
So you like this better than WordPress?
Well, I use WordPress for the website hosting, but for actually building the podcast feed, I do like it a little bit better, just because you have a lot of finite control over how that feed gets put together and what order things go in, and it basically just spits out a huge XML file that can just sit on your server and isn't prone to being hacked and everything else. And what I like to do, and I can talk a little bit about how we host this show. I host our audio feeds on Amazon S3. So I've got a little bucket I made on there. It's it's really cheap to host. They charge you based on your transfers out, but your average podcast really will not cost you more than a few bucks a month to host on Amazon. They charge you by the gigabyte transferred out, and it's
now how technical do you have to be to set that up?
Not very at all, because what you can do
is it as easy as buying a domain name.
It is, yes. I would say it's probably about as easy as doing that. And you know what? Buying a domain name for most podcasters is probably enough to get started. So, we use Media Temple for our hosting, and they think they give you like a terabyte or two a month of data transfer. So that will probably cover, most of what you would do. But they also, limit how much hard drive space you have over time. So, each one of our episodes is probably about 20 to 25 megabytes. So do a year or two's worth of production, you're going to start filling up the space you have available to you. So, S3 is just a little bit easier for me to manage. It just pop the stuff up there and point Feeder at it. And when I build my feed, it goes out there. We have the PodTrack link, which we use for tracking our audio analytics. So we do that. And then, I use WordPress for the website. And for us, because we record the show in video, we embed a YouTube version of the show on there. And that's not our most listen to channel, but we have it there nonetheless because it's searchable. So WordPress is good for that. And I would suggest too that if you're hosting your WordPress, your audio and video podcast on WordPress for the web viewers, I would suggest putting in some additional content. So as you're, you know, preparing your show during the week, you know, feed a couple of stories, this little blog post into the WordPress site to help your SEO and give you some engagement points with your listeners. And I should add that we're not doing that.
Yeah.
We don't
have time. The cobbler's shoes, right?
Yeah, right.
There's also Libsyn is another thing to check out. A lot of people use Libsyn for audio and for video hosting of podcasts. And, you know, that might, for a lot of people, that might be a little bit easier solution. I'm trying to think if there's any others that are still around. You know, Blip has never been for audio podcasting, but for video podcasting, it's worked fine. Although Blip is changing their policies to where you really need to be a web series that kind of fits into what they think is a web series. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But they're going to be cleaning house real soon and getting rid of any videos that are just there as hobbies or things
right.
like
they
that.
They want to get away from being YouTube and being more of a premium content space.
Yeah, they want to have videos there that they can sell advertising against. Bottom line.
And Libsyn, by the way, I was just looking at their pricing. I used them once for something I was working on. They have it's a great way to start because it's $5 a month, and they have a neat data model, which is they give you 50 megabytes a month of storage. So all the transfers are free. You could become the most popular podcast ever and never have to pay a dime more than $5. But you can only upload 50 megabytes in the aggregate a month. You can go to 250 megs to get a $15 plan, so that might be something you would graduate towards if you did something else. Video is still tough, though, Tim, right? I mean, I found Blip TV when I was doing my online news thing locally that they were probably the best deal there was. I was paying like $100 a year, and I was able to kind of host my video as a podcast
Blip,
and a stream.
Blip has been a great place for video podcasting. And for video hosting, to place on your site, if you're doing a show that is a show that is going to be done on a regular basis and would appeal to advertisers, isn't have bad language in it, doesn't have nudity in it, then Blip is a great place to check out. But in terms of hosting video, you still can use Amazon. But you're going to pay for it,
right?
Whereas Blip, you're not going to pay that much if you pay anything at all. And YouTube's great, but you can't really run it down a podcast feed. And other than that, you've got to look at places like Brightcove, Ooyala, Kultura, and they're expensive. So they still, may not give you everything that you need. The time to really think about going to one of those places, Brightcove, Kultura, is when you're in the hundreds of thousands of monthly views. If you're close to a million monthly unique views, then it's really time to consider taking control of your own video and your own ad serving, because it starts to get interesting then. If you're doing about a million a month,
and at that point you've got a real business going, so you can probably afford some of the overhead, because really hosting your own ads certainly is going to, if you're taking all of the share of revenue as opposed to splitting it with Blip or YouTube, maybe then it's certainly worth it. Long form is hard, right, Tim? Because these files get big, and if we didn't have YouTube giving us the free hosting here for these videos, we wouldn't host video at all. So. But you know what? It's hard to get people to watch for long periods of time, right? I mean, it's the offline thing is hard. Is there any tips? Maybe we should maybe make this a topic of a future show of how to promote your long form content.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a whole topic unto itself. But you've got to build that audience and build that conversation. You can't just don't think that you can make the videos and post them and people will watch them. That's a mistake that a lot of people make.
You've got to really push this stuff out there and promote it as you go. I think we'll talk about that as we come up on future episodes. But really, if you're starting out on audio, you can, like, just to go back and review, Feeder is what I use, but you can use something else. Libsyn is a great hosting platform, very inexpensive, and can get you going with your feed and your hosting all in one package right off the bat. WordPress for your website. You can set up a hosting account just about anywhere with WordPress now. Just make sure you keep it up to date, because WordPress can get hacked very, very quickly and easily, and it's not always as easy to unhack it as it is to get hacked. So I always update our little behind the video installation there. So, and there's a ton of web hosting providers out there. A lot of people like Bluehost, which is pretty inexpensive. We like Media Temple just because they're a little bit better on support and
they're incredible on support. Yeah, unbelievable.
And they have a real good product. You're just going to pay a little bit more for it. But I think if you're starting out and you're serious about it, that you should look at doing something like that. YouTube is probably still the best place to get started with video. It doesn't do offline, so you maybe want to look at blip.tv if your content is appropriate enough, or put the stuff out on Amazon and see what happens. But hosting video yourself is still going to be a very pricey endeavor, but it's worth looking at various options to see where you go from little to big, and it's sometimes that jump is very, very quick. So that is our tip of the week for all of you out there. If you have questions, please go to behindthevideo.com and contact us on there, and we will be happy to address your questions on a future show. And of course, you can always call in to our show as well. Behindthevideo.com has a live section which has all the instructions for calling in. And Tim, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at One Tim Street on Twitter.
And you can find me at LONSEIDMAN on Twitter, or lonseidman.com. And that will do it for this week of Behind the Video. Happy Easter, Tim.
Oh, happy Easter to you as well. And just to let you know, I still have 13,711 people in front of me
for the mailbox app.
So I'm down to 10 now.
So once Tim is in, we're going to get his take and see if he is as enamored with mailbox as I am. But good luck, Tim. Hopefully this week might be the week for you.
This week might be the week, but I won't have time. I'm getting ready to go to NAB.
Oh, that's right. Now, is NAB, you going to be there next weekend?
Yeah, I'll be there next weekend and then the following week as well. So doing all kinds of stuff with MDialogue, and also be talking about podcasting there.
Great. So I was hoping to come down and talk about podcasting with you, but we've got a little one on the way, and I'm in the travel ban zone, so I'm not going to be there with you. But are we going to be able to do a show next week?
It's sketchy. Okay, I'll let you know. We'll see how it shakes out.
Let you know, and let me know, and let our viewers know, and we'll hopefully be back next week. But our recording time might change depending on Tim's location and bandwidth quality. So, but that will do it for this edition of Behind the Video. We are a wrap.
Stories for this episode were compiled by producer Jason Perrier. Follow him on Twitter at JasonPerrier. Behind the Video is a production of Ape Digital Incorporated and the Independent Media Network, LLC. All rights reserved.